Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched three things this week. We started off with the new Sydney Sweeney horror film Immaculate, major spoiler alert for that. We then watched the first three episodes of the new Apple TV Plus series Palm Royale, a mild spoiler alert for that. We do mention one plot point, although we don't go into too many details, so you could probably listen to it without being majorly spoiled, but if you're sensitive, we want to give you a heads up. And then finally, we watched the fifth episode of Shogun, and you guessed it, a major spoiler alert for that one. And now without further ado, here's We're Watching What? All right, we did something very out of my comfort zone this week, and not necessarily even because anybody asked us to. I just ended up seeing this movie. We saw Immaculate. I have so many questions. I think my first question is, would you two call this a good horror movie? Not movie, horror movie, because I do think sometimes it's different.
Let's just say, yeah, no. there's a distinction there. I don't know that I'd say like, oh, I think this was like a really good horror movie, but I don't think it was a bad one either for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated it. I thought it was terrible. I almost walked out. Like, I was like, because I was so bored, I was like, I should just leave. Like, no one's keeping me here. But I didn't. I ended up watching the whole thing.
I almost threw up.
Which was unfortunate because she like has the baby and then, ugh.
The end scene, I almost threw up during that, and I was, oh god, I'm gonna just like the fingernails. I could not. I just,
oh man, I was so bored. I was like, so like, oh my god, this isn't scary at all. Like, what happened?
Yeah, I will admit that I was freaked out, in addition to like the body horrors stuff. I was freaked out by like I think they were cheap jump scares, right? Like the whole beginning of the thing is cheap jump scares. I think buried somewhere in this film could be an interesting horror movie or a campy one if they just did the like, you know, Immaculate Conception, Virgin Birth thing. You know, I'm like, oh, make it a commentary.
I didn't mind the idea that they were like
eugenicsing,
using genetics or whatever, but like, there's so many people who would just sign the fuck up for that you don't need to just like it ruins it for me. Cause I don't understand why anyone would go through all the trouble of tricking, or maybe cause they needed the immaculate birth myth.
I think it had to be like, oh, they fulfill the requirements of the vessel, whatever it is. I don't know. I have no religious background.
I was like, okay. She was just so dumb. I mean, I know you're always dumb in horror movies, but like the lab blows up and she sits there for like 10 minutes, just like heavy breathing instead of running away.
I mean, she was in labor, but yeah.
Like, but she does.
Her water has broken.
Don't try and justify this, Matt.
I get that, but I just mean like, you know, she was actually in labor and starts screaming because she's having contractions. So it's like, it's not that easy just to get up and run away. But
don't mansplain birth to us, sir.
Like, she does run.
Like, she does when she can. But I know. I just mean like, I've seen way, way dumber leading ladies in a horror film than this. Like, this
of course.
For me, like, you know, like, I didn't bump on that as much. Yeah, I think that the Immaculate Conception element could have been a more interesting one. And then I think that they went with the science thing because it felt more unexpected in a way, because most demonic baby movies are cult has, you know, you know, like a way to make this happen, which this was a cult, but you know what I mean? Like through satanic ritual, you know, if you will. Yeah. So I think they felt like, oh, that'll be interesting. But I guess I was kind of like, well, here's the thing. Like, you see so many run-of-the-mill movies of this nature in the horror genre that I'm okay with you following something more cookie-cutter if you really stylize and make it your own in a way, in a different way. And I do think that this tried that in some ways. And they're not all fully successful, but there were some nods to more classic, you know, The Omen and things like that that I appreciated, while also, like, I wasn't bored in it, I'll say. I was intrigued by the whole thing. I even thought it could have been longer if it... Oh, decided to flesh things out in a more substantial way. But I left it kind of being out, like, wanting
probably,
more.
I would have liked it better if they had fleshed it out a little bit more. Like, I felt like we spent too much time before she got pregnant, you know, of this.
Yes.
And because I think the being pregnant thing and not being able to figure out how it happened but like being like, oh my God, do I actually believe this is a God thing? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I thought that was creepier. And I think that like, I wish they hadn't introduced the like red faced demon ritual people until later.
Because
it wasn't scary to me. And so I was like, oh, that ruins it for me. Like, I'm like, oh, that's cheesy. But if it had been all in her head, maybe, and we're just kind of like sitting here trying to figure out like, oh, is everyone really creepy and weird? Or is she really going through this miracle? I think it would have been, I don't know.
No, I agree. It would have been much stronger because it's also then this like commentary, right, on female body autonomy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, does she have the right to these things? Like once it's, you know, it's the whole life conversation that's unfortunately happening right now.
And then I think, you know, we do figure out it's a satanic ritual or what the fuck ever, right? Like, I don't even care what the reasoning behind it all is. But yeah,
well, it's not even satanic.
It's not the movie's fault, maybe, because I wanted more psychological horror and they were giving us more body horror, which is like, I don't really care about body horror.
But not just body horror. It was also just like, I don't know what else to call it. Classic horror, vanilla horror, right? Where it's just like jump scares and like spooky mm-hmm. people around. And, you know, I feel like they weren't willing to commit to the core of the idea they presented. And therefore, like, they were just like, we'll scare you a little bit in the beginning, or we'll try and scare you. Don't worry. This is a serious horror movie. And then they're like, and now Jesus, you know, and science. And then at the end, they're just like, blood, guts, baby bits. Like, it just did not work for Jackie's face and baby bits. tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, I definitely didn't watch most of the body horror because, like, it's not my thing. You know, so I always just close my eyes when they start doing things that I'm like, oh, yeah, this is gross. And then I just close my eyes.
I'm just laughing because I was like, Dana, I'm so happy that you have not seen certain films because I did not even think of this as, like, a body horror film hardly. Like, there are so many words.
And
I hear you, but I was just thinking about all these other things where I'm like, I was like, oh, yeah. The nail thing was gross, but like it was quick. I was like, I'm thinking of some stuff that I have seen, let me tell you.
But, I'm sure. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
And there were jump scares that somewhat were kind of the sake of it. But I guess I think I felt as if the goal of the film to me led more trying to be scary in, this is a bad comparison of film, but scary in the way that something like a modern day Hereditary or even like The Omen was mm-hmm. versus something else that really does kind of focus like a lot of the kind of Blumhouse or kind of like focus on the cheaper jump scare. And so I was liking that. I felt it was going for the existential dread story rather than the like, oh God, I can't even look because everything's scaring me at every second. So I didn't feel like it was trying to be super, super scary. Mm-hmm. I know we've had conversations about this before. Like, I know we talked about like Talk to Me, Jackie, and you were like, oh, it wasn't scary. And I'm like, well, I don't find most movies scary. So to me, I'm like, for me, like a horror film to me doesn't have to be like scary. It has to be horrifying. Mm. Like it's got to be a, like for me. So like most horror films that I love are not things that scare me at all. You know, like I have like 5 or 6 movies I can think of off the top of my head that like really scare me to the core. And other than that, they're just like, I just like the genre. You know, it's like, yeah. And I felt that this was successful in some parts of that, but I don't think this was by any means like a go right home about it and be like, oh my God, you must go see Immaculate.
Oh yeah, totally. I'm being harsher on it than it needs to be because it was an okay story. I think I just had higher expectations because I thought the trailer looked really pretty and cool. And I really thought Stigmata was very scary. So religious scary movies sometimes get me. And so I was like excited to kind of, cause most religious scary movies rely on evil existing. Right. And I feel like, okay, that makes sense to me. Right. Like it's not necessarily, you know, supernatural, but it's like an evil force of some sort. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was really hoping I would actually be like,
yeah. Well, and this one
I like suspense. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I like feeling on the edge of my seat and like wondering what's going to happen and knowing maybe something bad's going to happen, but being so into the film that I still can't look away, you know? And I never felt that in this.
No. Yeah. And I was going to say like the existence of evil, I feel this did, it dabbled with it. And I think it by the end, I mean, you could kind of interpret, but it felt as if, yes, that element was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it didn't really confirm one way or the other. The convenient, like, writing on the wall about the devil, you know, all that stuff. And the child she gave birth to did not sound like a human child to me. I actually pictured whatever was laying down that it'd be more of like a Baphomet type goat thing, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing too.
And they didn't show it. I kind of thought we were gonna get like a really quick like flash of it or something.
I like that they didn't show it though.
I do too, but it was if you listen, it was like purring more. It was not crying. It was not, it was making like little like purr type noises.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so funny because I heard it as like an asthma wheeze because I have asthma.
Oh.
I
mean,
it did not sound healthy baby human.
Right. It was they were definitely going like beast with it, right?
Some sort of beast, and whether that meant Satan was working through this priest and these people, whatever, to make this happen, or it meant that like whatever they made.
Don't
was
take
just, like,
genetics off of
totally,
a gross, like, yeah,
mutated.
Rusty nail.
Like, so that was kind of vague.
Did none of them see Jurassic Park?
But that was left very vague. And so I think that it could have, I like the vagueness. Like, I agree with you, Dana. I like that we didn't see it. But I also think that they could have taken a more solid stance in one way or the other about
it. But I also think there's a world, and maybe I'm just reading into it too, that she kills the baby partially because she doesn't want this link to this place or this like baby they can worship, right?
Absolutely, yeah,
like even was a healthy baby, right? But I like the ambiguity of thinking that she also just like had
you
the
could take what you want
decide that, like, you know, like even if it was a healthy human looking baby, right? Which it didn't sound like it, so I think they were leaning us towards monster. But I like the film where it's a healthy baby and she decides to kill it.
Yeah,
she doesn't want that hero worship.
Regardless,
abortion.
And it wasn't her autonomy. It wasn't her choice to give up her genetic material or whatever.
Yeah. Not only her genetic material, her body. You know.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
I did like the scene. I did like the scene when she tricked them into almost taking her to the hospital. Though,
I did. I enjoyed that.
That got me, I was surprised by that. I was like,
I was surprised
this is so
much too.
This thing would be dead. I was like, this is silly. But then when I realized that what she did, it was like, oh, okay, that got me.
Yeah, because when she was in the back of the car, I was like, this isn't real. There's no way. Like, what is happening?
That was a
like,
smart thing she did. Bizarre.
And then I was like, ooh, that was very smart.
Yeah.
Because in theory, I mean, if that nun hadn't been like a nut job, they wouldn't have discovered it until after they got to the hospital, likely.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie, though, like, I get it. There's not a lot of places. It's a Spartan room. But like, come on, hide the chicken body.
I know. That was like, crazy. I was like
that was weird.
Yeah, figure that
you
out.
Had you had time.
Know?
Like, you had time.
But the things that I'll definitely give it credit for that were standing out to me a lot. I liked the music. I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. I thought some of the cinematography was effective in a good way. I loved this church place they filmed. On that
wherever
note,
they filmed it, I was like, can we go there? Like,
yeah, it was definitely in Italy.
It was
Italy,
so beautiful. Like, I just felt like they spent all of their money on this location and kind of like relied so heavily on it. And I get it. It was definitely a character and it should have been. Like, I was pro that because it was stunning. But yeah,
that was gorgeous. And I was going to say, like, I mean, and on that note, in comparison to a lot of what we see these days, but also especially in this horror genre where things can go really B, C, D level real quick, I appreciated that they were on location and that every environment was real. These catacombs were really cool. I thought that the effects, not that there were a ton of them, being practical really largely throughout was like really cool. I loved that it was even the tongue. It didn't look great, but it was a real thing. And I was like, I just appreciated that it was leaning into all of that like classic horror instead of going into this like CGI mess of stuff. Like,
That was
if we
nice.
Saw that baby, it would have been a puppet. It would
not have been some
CGI crap. And I was really like, I was giving it a lot of kudos for that. So I like that, those things about it. But yeah, I do wish it was more, you know.
Yes. I think the other big challenge for me, and I know she produced it, and I like give her credit for, you know, getting involved, but I don't see Sydney Sweeney as a nun that I just don't.
You know what's interesting about that is, and some of the complaints might have been fixed by this simple little detail also, or helped anyway. I saw her talking about this, and I guess she auditioned for this film.
Yeah, like 10
like
years
10
ago.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And then it got scrapped. And then so she got it made, still wanted to be in it. So she aged the character up, but the girl was supposed to be like 16. And so she was like a younger more naive, like, all these things, like, yeah, exactly, could have also tracked more and been like the horrifying, like, oh my god,
which actually makes more sense and is actually scary.
Yeah. And it'd be way more disturbing, because it's like, it's already, it's disturbing what's happening, but it's like to a child, you know, and
yeah, who doesn't know better, whose parents got, and you can make her parents killed in whatever crash it was or whatever. And so she got saved by some miracle, and then the church takes her in. Yeah.
And so in some ways, I know she's a fan of horror and everything, and she wanted to do this, and I applaud that all and everything, and her getting it, you know, to the point where she got it made. But that's also where I want you to be able to kind of take yourself out of it a little bit, and maybe you should have found someone who was the right age to play the role.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Well, that's like deciding anymore between producer or like actor, right? It's just like, meh.
I want you to be able to see, like, okay, this isn't my role anymore, but I love this story and I want this to be made. And, you know, but I can't say that if I was her, I wouldn't have done the same exact thing. So I don't fault her for it, but I kind of wish she could have done that.
Or just go all the way one way or direction, right? Like, just,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, full, update the age, but then also update the story.
Yes. Then you have to mature the story to like a level that makes sense, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember a film? I don't know, it was like in the mid or early 2000s where a teenage girl, it's not a horror film, but she becomes pregnant, but she didn't have sex. It was just like, you know,
it's a TV show with America Ferrera, right?
No, that's Jane the Virgin with, not America for the other one. No, I wanted to say it was Quintanilla, but I don't think it's that. But I just remember it being a really good film, actually. It has not to do this, but it was like, you know, she's the one accidental case of like, I don't think they have sex maybe, but they like the pre-ejacular, whatever it is. You know, she gets pregnant without having technically like had penetrative sex. I do remember this. It might be Quintanilla.
I do too, and I don't remember what it was.
I think it might be. But either way, so I was like thinking about that, but it works when she's 15 because, you know, it's... I mean, it makes some of the other parts of the story more horrifying, right? The experimentation part and stuff like that. But just like, I don't know. You're right. That may have solved a considerable amount of it.
Yeah.
But just having her be like, oh, I'm here. And, you know, I think one of the cops or something like that makes a comment like, oh, such a shame. I'm like, yeah, let's just not draw attention to, I don't, it just, yeah, didn't work for me.
Yeah, I didn't love that part either. Yeah. And it's so unnecessary. Like, it was just one of those, I guess it's supposed to make it seem like,
yeah, they're trying to like address
predatory, you know.
But yeah, it was not for me. It was not for me.
I'm so surprised by that, Dana.
I know.
I'm shocked.
I know.
Shocked what beyond recognition.
Yes. It's
who are you? You know?
Oh, right. It's I've been possessed. Perhaps
talk
it's
about
the,
unpredictable.
Talk about maybe it's the asthmatic baby demon. All right. Well, moving on to something I hope we all agree on. I'll be very sad if we don't. Palm Royale. Please tell me you both loved it. It's okay if you didn't. Jackie's not saying a word.
With that setup.
Yeah.
I know. I'm nervous.
I mean, it's okay if you didn't. I just feel like this is a show meant for this group. Somebody say something.
Maeve
overhyped it is probably.
No, you didn't. I love it. I'm very, I feel very uniquely sought out as the audience for it. Like, it's one of those shows that feels like they sat there in the room and they were like, well, what would he like? And they just decided, like honestly, like my poster was on the wall.
I was absolutely obsessed with it, of course. Like, it was like perfectly campy.
Okay, good.
And like, but also like, I'm very into it.
And it's hysterical, but it's not like in your face. Like, it's funny, like her character and like the vibe, it feels like she's combining her bridesmaid's character with like the Barb and Star of it all, but it's not either of those types of humor, but it's like both of them together in a way that feels unique in its own thing.
Which it vaguely feels kind of authentic. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this character is sort of real, which is such a feat and a comedic kind of thing to do.
Well, and it's real social commentary, right? Like, Barb and Star is like hyper-realized and Bridesmaids is like less social commentary and more just kind of like, you know, like, oh, difficult with friend groups. But this is like a commentary on like society at large. Yeah. You know?
Well, and also like the character is very earnest. And I think she plays it well, because I think there's a world in which like this, if this character had been sarcastic or anything but, you know, the degree with which she's presenting it, we'd be like, this is terrible. Like, this just doesn't work. But I think she's so good in it. I love Laura Dern.
Oh, yeah.
Did we get
We got three episodes. So.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Carol Burnett, I mean, we've seen her in flashbacks and in bed.
Okay, but we saw her in bed, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, was she, her ability, she's so funny without saying a word. You know, it's just like her comedy is, and it just gets better throughout the season, spoiler but not. I do think Ricky Martin is a choice.
Yeah, you know, I'm obsessed with Assassination of Gianni Versace, and he's in that too, and he's okay, but he's not really an actor. So it kind of hurts my feelings. I mean, he's fine to look at, but one thing I will say that I find distracting in it a little bit, but mostly on him, is the amount of beauty boxing that they're doing. Like I get it's for the style of the show. I get they want it to feel soapy and like a kind of a different version of reality. Like, I get that and I support it. But sometimes there have been a couple angles of him, particularly in like episode three, I think, where I was like, oh my God, like he looks blurry.
Yes.
Because he's so extra. Yeah. And I'm like, y'all need to dial this back just a little bit sometimes, but I get it.
Well, and to be honest, it doesn't need to be Ricky Martin. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know what Ricky Martin is adding to this.
Not a thing.
You know, I like the character and the commentary of that character, right? Like, and how that'll probably evolve in the story. But I mean, Ricky Martin is an actor's throwaway.
Yeah, I don't quite.
But I was gonna say, so far though, you mentioned Carol Burnett, and I was like, so far, I have to think that this is, you know, the greatest acting gig of her entire career, because she just gets to lay there and be asleep. And then in the flashbacks we've seen so far, she gets to be dressed up as the Lady Venus, Cleopatra, and Marie Antoinette. And these like elaborate set pieces and costumes. And I was like, what could be better? Like, I'll take the job. Next time, call me.
She was like,
she does have to work at some point. But
I'm sure. But
it's so funny. Like, it is. It's just, she's so expressive without having to do, you know, her ability to like control the subtlety and also broadness of her comedy is so impressive.
I can't wait. And every way, the way that she's just been described as a character
so
far in this world is just like, it's like if you're casting someone, it's like, please let it be Carol Burnett. Like, it sounds so perfect that like, but then like the Alice and Janney of it all. I mean, the cast across the board, aside from Ricky, which whatever, he's not ruining anything, but
no, he's not ruining anything.
Really, they're pretty pitch perfect to me. Like, they're very kind of.
Honestly, he probably only stands out because everyone else is so good.
You're being generous, but yeah, sure, we'll say that.
Yeah,
the thing I realized thinking about it is like, I was like, oh, this is like a better structured Housewives.
Yeah.
And somehow also more grounded, even though the plot lines are like scripted and more hyperbolic. I was just like, This is why this speaks to us, right? Because we are Housewives fans. This is this type of drama. It's the like social status and you know, almost bringing some of the subtext of these women to the text part of it, and then still managing to like layer on top more commentary. Because like, how many Housewives plot lines have we seen about like, you promised this much for my charity, and you didn't do it, and you didn't deliver, or like you were supposed to show up, and I'm just like, oh my God, they're clearly like.
Well, and it's just like thinking back on like the storylines, it's like so far, it's like not all that much has really happened, but.
Actually,
plot points and stuff, and it's like, I mean, God. She helps the one lady get access to an abortion that she couldn't have gotten otherwise because of this affair and everything, but she couldn't have gotten otherwise or found safely.
Yeah.
And then the lady is immediately mean to her, and it's like, fine. And it's like all this, like, there's just things where I'm like, the way we get from point A to point B, none of it feels like it doesn't work, but it's also like, only in Housewives do you see that kind of like flip-flopping and 180-ness of people just not being good to each other. Like, it's hysterical.
It's like, you saved my life. Like, I hate you, but you know.
Yeah, like right away, but also like you know, I will not help you get into this club.
Yeah. Like, you are.
But I love Leslie Bibb. I think she's doing great.
Oh, she's
doing
great.
Like, I love it when she's in the car with her and she's like, you make things awkward. I don't remember the exact line, but I did.
Yeah, she's like something. Like, yeah, you have a something about making things
a talent of making situations awkward, or like it was something like that.
It's just so good, and I am so excited
and
for you.
Costumes, set design, everything. Just like
it's very practical. You know, it's very like they are clearly love this era, and we're like, we got this.
Well, and this accent that Kristen Wiig is doing, let's eat it up. Because some of the things, my favorite parts of it a lot of the time are her narration.
Her narration.
Narration can ruin something, but she's so funny. And it's kind of like the narration serves the space that the confessionals would.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, it's providing that, but it's kind of the Carrie Bradshaw of it all. And I like it in Sex and the City also. Like when it's done in a way, I'm here for it.
Yeah. No, I'm so happy that you both get to watch the show because I've been waiting for so long.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is I was so happy because like I went into it as level-headed as I'm capable of being because I was like, you built it up for me a lot. I had been looking forward to it.
I mean, the cast alone would have built it up for...
Yeah, the second I heard it was happening back forever ago and heard who it people were, I was, you know, and also we all know that Apple TV has a very good track record, especially for comedies with me. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, this is like my show. And so it could have really let me down, but it didn't.
It really could have. And it was great. And we didn't even talk about Kaia Gerber.
Yeah, I did not know who she was.
The like runway, like when they did the like, it felt so much like a Housewives episode when they're like, my daughter wants to be a model, so let's show her do her model walk on TV. Like, it was just so dumb, and I was just living for it, of course.
But I loved it so much. I also thought it was so funny, and I can't remember if this is what sparked the Housewife thought or like this thought came after, but sometimes I watch Housewives on like my parents' cable thing, and so like I can fast forward through the commercials, but they like play a little bit, and I don't think I've ever seen an Apple show advertised, but there was an ad for Palm Royale, and I was like, they know their audience, they know what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're doing. I bet
why didn't we capitalize on this?
I was like, what if they passed on it or something, and then or like
they did do Why Women Kill. I mean, which was excellent.
That was CBS, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, other networks
same
do, but I just
family, I think, right?
Yeah.
No, NBC not, Universal.
That's Viacom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was the Peacock.
No. Other things advertise on it, but I've never seen an Apple show do it. In part because I don't think, like, I think the only closest one maybe could like Loot might do it, but this was just
no. But this makes sense.
I was like,
they
know,
kind of
exactly
stay in the Apple realm.
Maybe
like,
Mormon
you hear
show
about Apple shows.
Yeah. But it's definitely, I was just like, oh, they knew. They knew
they
who
knew
they were.
Exactly, yeah.
They knew who they needed to talk to. And it is us.
And I'm sure, NBC Uni was totally fine to cash in on that ad space. They were
They were like, you got it.
Give
you
us that
got
Apple
it
money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, you know, it might just be a strategic thing. I don't feel like I've seen it advertised as much or talked about as much as I would like.
No, yeah, I haven't either, actually, but.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe
it'll.
It does feel like a word of mouth show because it's just, you know.
Often the Apple ones end up being that way though, right? Because it's
I
like
think
even
they know
like
it's good and silent. They're like, yeah, that's true.
I even at work I was talking about like we were talking about something, I don't remember why, but I brought up Silo and I was like, oh, have you watched Silo? And this was like a month after it ended. And every single one of my artists that I'm working with was like, what's that? And I was like,
You got to be the fun
like, how do you not know? Like, you know, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that some of them have gone and watched it. Who knows? But they all know. They all had heard about what Shogun was. Like, you know what I mean? Before it started. So I don't. It's weird. I don't know how it all the information trickles.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it. I don't think we'll cover it weekly just because, like, plot-wise. But, oh, man. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that we got to revel in this. Revel? Words. I'm trying to use my accent like her. Well, speaking of Shogun, that's a perfect segue into the episode that took me a day and a half to watch. Not because the episode's fault, it's my fault.
I was like, what a commentary on it.
What a commentary. Yeah, not absolutely not the episode's fault. Literally moving and shaking in this episode. Earthquake check.
Oh dear.
I'm so sorry. How are we feeling? There was a very sad moment in this.
Yeah, there really was. I'm feeling
a couple, really, but one really made me very sad.
Yeah, I'm feeling very wonderful. Yeah, I'm just eating it up, and Lady Ochiba, my number one, is back.
And she's I'm back. She's
yeah,
back.
That exciting clip. They know how to end an episode.
They know how to end it.
Oh, they do. Yeah, I mean, I was.
Yeah, I wanted to ask how you felt like that was like for everyone because I was like knowing who she is from the book. I was like, I'm excited because I love her, but I felt when watching it, I was like, this feels like this is just going to be exciting for everybody.
I don't know who she is, but I was like, oh, yeah, there's a bad bitch coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was very clear. Like, I was like, yes.
I knew she was like the heir, the mother of the heir, you know, but I did not realize she was going to be such a power player, which I love. Yeah. And I like that we spent a lot of this episode with like the kind of dynamics of the two women in the house. You know, the show has done a decent job of being like women can have power, but she has been the most blunt about just like, I'm the captain now. You know? Yeah. I was like, okay.
Then. I'm going to take over because you're not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. And it's like, yeah, I think in the show, if I remember, we saw her just one time and it was the beginning of episode two. I think the flashback of
he was
dying.
Yeah. And but, they like referred to her, but they didn't.
Yeah, like, I knew but she's been
her
off,
because
you know,
we've been talking.
Yeah. I mean, she's been like a hostage, basically. So.
Yeah. Essentially, yeah. And now, she's not exactly happy about that either. And so, yeah, I'm excited for what's to come. We'll see how they adapt it all. But yeah, I'm loving it. I find the show so compelling.
It's so good, and the performances are just so good. Like, I love the relationship between white dude and interpreter and
white dude and interpreter.
Yeah,
I know. It works.
Correct.
yes, I like the push and pull of it. Right, like I love that. Like she's really like, no, you need to understand that cultures exist that aren't yours. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are consequences,
and they are
not
valid,
learning those cultures
valid. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then,
well, the power
of
words too, which is crazy because it's
exactly.
like you say that anywhere, like not anywhere else, but a lot. You know, it's like I would say that, and it wouldn't register.
It wouldn't mean
ever
anything.
Take me seriously. You know,
no
ever.
One would kill themselves over it for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like you need to take. But I like that she was like, no, you need to take responsibility for the fact that you are not learning it. Loved it.
I was also relieved that they like found a way to make his death matter more. And not that it excuses it, right? Because I do think as an audience member, it's definitely like a powerful plot point. But I was like, okay, yes, he's died, but it's not as in vain as, it seemed.
Yeah.
But I'm also getting so sick of Tadanobu Asano's bullshit. His character, the like flip flopper, just like...
That remains, I almost wanted to I almost wanted to go back and revisit some, because I was like, I don't remember finding his involvement so frustrating in the book, because I continue to kind of be like to like Toranaga, like, why?
Yeah.
Just get rid of this guy. And I'm like, I'm trying to rack my brain. I'm like, is there a larger purpose that he's for the game he's playing? Maybe there is. I don't remember. So we'll see. I'll learn that with everybody. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm not seeing the reasoning behind keeping this guy around at all.
I could also see, you don't have to speak to this or you might not be able to, but I was like, I could see there being a world in which this is like still one of the main book characters, but like maybe taking on a couple additional things of tertiary characters that they didn't have the energy and time to like make into their
flesh
own plot. Where they were just he can do it.
Yeah. Well, and on that note, that may well be
so
many true. And I don't,
yeah.
Yeah, that may be true, and I don't actually remember, because they were probably...
I mean, it also could be a faithful adaptation, but he's...
No, no, but
he's a messy bitch. Like.
Yeah, it would make sense what you're saying, and but how about her husband?
He was,
wasn't he? That was... He would... Talk about tension. Every time he was on camera or in a scene, dinner scene...
Dying. I was like, I was out of my skin, but like in anticipation kind of feeling, because it was so real and so good, and I just was like,
So
and then this stupid sake like bullshit.
Oh
where
God, the dick measuring contest.
But part of that is that again, it's like this. I know we talked about in the first time we were talking about the show. I was like, it felt on its own the different scale, kind of like what Game of Thrones was doing. And it's like in that same vein, even having read the book, and I don't remember everything, of course, it always feels tense because like it does feel like that kind of show where anything can happen at any time.
Yeah,
and so you don't know that he's not going to just kill. Cosmo Jarvis right there on the spot. Like, what? Like, you just don't know, exactly. What.
Like, it's itself that, like,
yeah.
It does what it wants, and we're just here for the ride.
We're along for the ride.
And I love that, right? Like,
but that's a super, like so many shows that we talked about, even like, honestly, like, you could, that's kind of what you're saying about how you felt about Immaculate, right? Where it's like, you didn't really care what it did when you're watching, but it's like, when you can establish that kind of just like edge of your seatness about like anything could go any direction at any time. And that's just like, that's really crazy.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And it's very successful.
Tip of the hat, wave of the fan.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All of it.
My parents love it too. Actually, they say it's a lot of reading, but they like it.
I was like, what? Are they reading the book? I realized
reading
it.
They're reading the book.
It took me a hot minute. I was like, what?
It's like, it is a dense novel, well, but yeah.
No, yeah. No, but I mean, I actually agree. Like, it's one of those things. The reason I end up always watching it, like, right before we record is just because I do want to, but also need to dedicate brain space to it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to, like, just half-assed watch it, which it's a credit to the show that I bother to take the
time. I have to watch it at night because it's so dark, honestly. And as you can tell, I get, like,
I know. I was like, Jackie, you're so well lit right now. You're so
and,
such a-
and so, but it's like I can't. Yeah. So I literally have to wait till it's dark outside to watch it and enjoy it, which I like to anyway, because watching things in full dark is exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited.
I mean, I'm a movie theater person, clearly.
Yes. We will see where it goes. This is only applicable to me. I won't be eating pheasant anytime soon or bird.
Me neither. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Yeah. But
never have, probably never will.
I mean,
yeah, same.
I probably would, but not that I've, anyway, that's been sitting out that long because that was gross. Yeah. Thank God for modern refrigeration.
Yeah, I was like, you would, but.
I would, I just don't but, need to. Yeah. Anyway, we're watching what? What else did we watch this week?
I watched a lot of things.
Same.
I was like racking my brain. I was like, when did I find this time? Because I don't actually know.
Don't.
But I saw Late Night with the Devil.
Which I did as well, and is shocking double horror films for me this week. Although, shocking, I wouldn't, yeah. I mean, I guess it was horror, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But that did surprise me that you had seen that. Oh, we talked about, I mean, you know, we like him and stuff too, so who knows, but...
That's pretty much what it came down to, yes.
I watched Quiet on the Set.
I haven't watched that yet.
Oh, I watched that. Yeah, that was sad.
Sad, but well done, I'd say. It's a four-parter, Dana, that I felt like...
No, they just announced they're going to do a fifth part with Drake Bell.
Oh, good.
Oh, he's coming back?
Was he not?
He was already on it.
He's in it. Yeah, he's in
he's
it.
In okay. a, well, yeah. He's a major part of it.
Yeah. He gets like almost an entire episode dedicated to him.
Yeah, so maybe you're thinking that they...
But maybe he's coming back.
New interview,
yeah. Because I know there's been a lot of backlash for a lot of things and stuff, and like, because it's like some other stars are getting like...
I mean, the interviews that they... I mean, spoiler alert, but like they interview a bunch of the stars and no one had any idea it was him.
Mm.
It seemed like.
Yeah. Well,
and so there's probably like a lot more emotion about it.
Yeah, to that point, and you'll have to see Way and Dana if you do watch it, but to that point, it's like, there's an entire trial about it and we didn't know it was him. So it's like,
I had no idea.
It somehow really did stay under the radar, which is, you know, good. He wanted it that way, I guess. So it's like, okay.
Mm. But the stuff with his dad, I think that was the hardest.
And then I watched The Many Lives of Martha Stewart, which I also found enjoyable.
What is that? Is this?
It's like a docu series. Oh, yeah.
I love a documentary.
And then I watched Stormy, which is actually a docu film about Stormy Daniels on Peacock.
Okay,
I haven't watched that either, but I would like to.
So many things.
And then I watched the first two of X-Men 97, which I am
obsessed with. I did watch that.
I've heard wonderful things.
Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed. And then I
had to show my girls their roots. We had to introduce them to Ruby and Jubilee.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm shocked and saddened that you hadn't already done that with the original.
No, we had when they were kittens. Okay. We did.
Yeah, just to clarify for everyone, these are
just like a long time.
These are cats we're talking about.
These are cats. They're now four, but yeah, as kittens, one of the first things we did was watch some X-Men together.
Yeah, well, that's good. And then Summer House Martha's Vineyard came back, and I didn't realize it was.
Yes,
I know.
I actually watched the whole season of Martha's Vineyard without knowing that the new one was coming out on Sunday, I had literally just caught up, and so then there was magical new episode, and I was
serendipity.
Like, I was like, ooh,
I was so happy for you because I was like, you're gonna go in fresh.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's my list. A lot of things.
Yeah,
it was pretty magical.
Sorry, the three body problem. Sorry, but we'll talk about.
Oh
that
yeah, yeah,
sure. Yeah.
I didn't watch that yet.
I have not watched the whole series yet. So we're gonna hold off on.
I only started it.
Yeah,
yeah. I've been watching a lot of Who the Bleep Did I Marry, which is there's like eight seasons of people's.
Okay.
Lives
and- oh. That's not their,
well. It's mostly men. It's mostly men killing their wives.
Okay.
Or like,
I thought you were talking about the TikTok series.
No,
sorry. Go on.
Oh, the TikTok Risa series. Someone did tell me about that. But yes. I have not seen that. But it's really a real TV show.
Really quick tangent, or like connector between the two. She got to host the Three Body Problem, like Netflix content, the Instagram content. I was like, how? Stop taking my job. Anyway, please continue.
Apparently you need to go viral.
I need to go viral and marry, like, not know who I'm married, like, not get murdered.
Have a crazy story.
Well,
anyway. Yeah. And then there was another documentary I watched, but I forgot what it was. Sorry.
Let's see. I watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which was fine. It was fine. It wasn't terrible, but it's just like recycled fan service.
That's what I felt about the last one, which is why I haven't been super excited to see this new one. But I kind of came out of that like, it was fine.
I think the thing about this one is like, the other one was trying to be like, we're a little bit different. But, you know, this one's just like, we're the same. We're the things you love. Like, come back to us. And I was like, all right, you know what you're doing here. I don't necessarily approve of what you're doing here, but you at least admit what you're doing here. And then, speaking of quite unnecessary remakes, but I watched Roadhouse, the Jake Gyllenhaal one.
Oh, yeah, I haven't done
it
that
is.
Yet.
I had so much fun. It is so dumb.
Oh, really?
Yes. It is. Oh. You can't look at it like Patrick Swayze Roadhouse. Like, no. It's the same plot structure, etc. But it's just, like, unhinged. And Conor McGregor is an actor in it. And I'm putting actor in aggressive, generous quotes. Like, he makes Ricky Martin look like an Oscar winner. But it's like, Jake Gyllenhaal has this very specific, like, bandwidth or, like, wavelength of performance that I love sometimes. Because I love – he has this bit in John Mulaney's and the Sack Lunch Bunch, which is, like, a comedy weird variety special that was on Netflix, where he plays – he's just, like – it's weird. It's weird and fun and silly, and, like, you can feel like he's having fun with it. So I had fun with it. Mm-hmm. Also, I could watch it from the comfort of my home. So, you know,
that's always
it.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know if either of the two of you would be particularly into it, but I was shocked by how much I enjoyed it. But I also like the original Roadhouse. So I was afraid I'd be like comparing them the whole time. But I was like, oh, this is just silly. So never mind. It's fine.
I liked the original for like when I was like younger.
It's become cult classic camp.
Yeah. You know? I was going to say like, I mean, it was just fun. So I was going to check this out. But.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I didn't have a bad time. It's absurd. And some of the one-liners that you could feel like they wrote as punch-ups later because they're like, oh, I got a bit. Like, I laughed so hard at. They're just dumb. They're dumb. They're funny, but like blatant. And then I watched Late Night with the Devil, as I mentioned. I also watched Physical 100, which is one of my Korean competition shows, which is absolutely unhinged. Mm-hmm. It's such a delight. They are going through just torture, and they're putting themselves through, and it just makes me feel like I should hit the gym, but also then just eat Oreos in bed. So, you know,
right,
we can contain multitudes. And then I got really into Resident Alien, which is a sci-fi channel show. And I find it very funny. It's also just like weird and absurd and this brand of humor that I really enjoy. And he talks in a very stilted way sometimes. It's kind of like somewhat like a baby or somebody who's like English wouldn't be their first language and trying to speak fluently, but I keep finding that it's like permeating my speech patterns and I have to stop myself from talking like that. Just uh-oh. Like, oh no, it's a little bit like the Galaxy Quest aliens, like more conversational, but it's got a little bit of that inflection and I'm like, I can't talk to humans like this. They're going to think I'm out of my mind. But the first two seasons are on Netflix and the third one's like airing on Sci-Fi, so it's on Peacock. I really enjoy it. It's fun. Yeah. Also a lot of indigenous actors, which is very nice to see.
That's one that I've heard of.
I've heard of that, yeah.
But
I haven't watched.
I think I've ever tried.
Also, like Linda Hamilton's in it. It's just, I feel like it's flown under the radar, but there's a reason it got like it's finishing up its third season. And now I'm finally like, oh, I get it. For people who really like this, like this is it's like a fun sweet spot. It probably doesn't cost a ton to make. There's like five sets.
Probably
got a very loyal fan base.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, that I even recommended it to my dad because there's doctor jokes in it. And I was like, he'll like those.
The documentary I forgot about was Have You Seen This Man? So it's like it's this guy who got away actually with like the largest bank fraud in history.
Ooh.
And like he disappeared. And it's three episodes, but there's a decent amount of twists and turns in the story. It gets a little it gets pretty wild. It's a really just insane story. And then the other, I watched Homicide on Netflix, which is like the cops talking about the most memorable homicides that they ever worked. It's a little like cops are not all bad, right? You know, like there's hero, whatever. But
yeah,
if you like true crime, the stories and the crime stories are very interesting examples.
Is this Dick Wolf produced one?
I wouldn't know.
Okay. I feel like he's the Law and Order guy. I feel like he had some series that's supposed to be like a real life, like a documentary.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, there's a lot of women and people of color telling their stories in it too, but it's, you know, it's cops, right? So
yeah,
take what you will from that. But the actual crime stuff was really interesting, I thought.
I will check it out. Although first I'm going to watch Quiet on Set, because let's be honest, I won't watch that. Yeah. Well, a busy, busy week for all of us. Thank you both.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Jackie and Matt. And that has been it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.